Hey everybody, this is Gene Troyer. I'm the lead pastor of Restore Church, and what a pleasure it is to welcome you to our podcast. It's my hope that you will be marked by love and encouraged in your faith and inspired to become all God has created you to be. Now I invite you to lean in and enjoy the podcast. Hey everybody, thanks for joining us as we lean into this third installment of the Making Change series. We've been talking about change being inevitable and asking the question, will we make change before change makes us? In other words, will we be proactive in addressing the money matters in our life, or even more broadly, will we take control of our life before life circumstances require us to do so? Last week, I had a great conversation with Mark Slabaugh from Ministry Renewal about the topic of generosity and tithing. Now, if you haven't watched it, you'll want to make sure and go back and watch it. We addressed a whole host of questions that many of us have been asking or at least thinking about, because my gosh, do we ever think and talk about money? All of us do it. Some of us are always one paycheck behind, living in ways that keep financial security just out of our reach. So how do we find a place of stability? And what are some of the practical ways to get out of this rut that we're in? If you say, this isn't me, I would say good for you. Stay with me though, because we all have things to learn. Stay with me because this topic is woven into all areas of our lives and because the Bible has so much to say about it. First of all, I'm going to assume that you want to be generous, that you aspire to live a life of freedom, that you don't want to be beholden or indebted to anyone. So here are a couple quick principles. Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, had so many good things to say in Proverbs. Just don't take or do as he did when it came to his romantic relationships. Block that one out. Let's just stay focused on what we're talking about today, which is how do we count the cost and stay financially or get financially viable? So check this out in Proverbs 6, verses 6 to 8. He says, take a lesson from the ants, you lazy bones. Now he's resorting to name calling. Maybe that's where it got started. Anyhow, learn from their ways, he says. Learn from the ants' ways and become wise. Though you know, have no prince, though they have no prince or governor or ruler to make them work, they labor hard all summer, gathering food for the winter. Solomon is calling us to find work that is meaningful, to take initiative, to be resourceful, and prepare ourselves for that inevitable season when the ability to earn an income may be limited, so that you would still have the resources necessary to live a life that is full and prosperous, a life that is filled with contentment and peace. King Solomon is pointing us to the importance of setting aside for your rainy day fund. Well, he didn't actually call it that, nor do we have exact instructions on how to go about doing that. But in Proverbs 21:20, he writes that the wise have wealth and luxury, but fools spend whatever they get. The wise store up choice food and olive oil, but fools gulp theirs down. For sure, like leave some food on your plate, save some room for dessert. That's my mantra. Well, that's not exactly what he was saying, but he was pointing us to the significance of setting aside some of our resources for a time when things may not be as plentiful. So where do we start? It's significant that we do start, that we begin the process of saving some, giving some, and living off of the rest. Maybe you want to subscribe to the 10-10-80 principle. 10% goes to a tithe, 10% into savings, and 80% to living expenses. If you need a good place to start, this is a really good one. Now, in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6, and he says, and this is my paraphrase, he says, hey, Timothy, some say that if you worship God, you'll also have a lot of money, like it's a sign of your righteousness if you have great wealth. But really, true godliness with contentment is itself great worth. It is the wealth of worshiping our awesome God. In fact, we can be content with just having what we need. I mean, isn't it true that our hands were empty when we came into the world? And really, our hands are going to be empty when we leave this world. So I believe that having food and clothing should make us content. Here's the deal though. Those who crave the wealth of this world, they get caught in spiritual snares. They get trapped by the troubles that come through their foolishness and their harmful desires. It seems to me They are driven by greed and drowning in their own pleasures. The truth is, they take others down with them in their corruption. When our love is misplaced, when we give ourselves to money and to our material possessions, this is the first step toward all kinds of trouble. Timothy, some people run after it so much that they've actually given up their faith. This lust and craving for more and more and more pushes them away from the faith, and as a result, they experience more and more misery in their lives. So, Timothy, so restore, church. You are God's man. You are God's people. So run from all these falsehoods and errors. Instead, chase after true holiness, after justice and faithfulness and love and hope and tender humility. To all the rich and wealthy of this world, don't get wrapped up with thoughts of pride because of your prosperity, or don't rely on your wealth because your riches are unreliable and are nothing compared to the living God. Trust instead in the one who has lavished on you all good things. He is fulfilling your every need. He is providing contentment and peace in your life. Remind each other often to be rich in good works of extravagant generosity. Share with each other, and in so doing, you'll provide a beautiful foundation for you and for the generations to come. Contentment, peace, and prosperity. We all want this in the natural. We all must have it in the spiritual. These 3 weeks have challenged me and have given me renewed hope for all of our futures. I believe as we put these principles into practice, we're going to make change before change makes us. The other night, I had one of those nightmares that felt like it would never end. It was one of those that the only way to get out of it is to get up, shake your head, talk to your head, and tell yourself it's not true, all is not lost, it's just in your imagination. In my dream, I was driving a school bus with no passengers. But I was charged with picking up the kids on my route and getting them to school. The only thing is, I didn't have a map, I didn't have a GPS to guide me, and I kept losing my way. And I kept coming back to the places that I wasn't even supposed to be. Despite my every attempt to finish the route, I kept coming back to this same little girl that was disheveled and dirty, and she was crying. She refused to get on the bus. I kept getting into tight spots. I needed to back this beast of a bus up into those tight spots. This bus that I didn't even know how to drive. Finally, in my frustration, I looked at my watch and saw that it was 11:30. And I realized I'd never get the kids to school on time. This is when in my dream state, I managed to wake up. I convinced myself that I didn't have to drive the bus, and all was good. I thought a bit about this dream, and I wonder if there's something there. Maybe some of you that have the gift of dream interpretation can help me with this, but I'm going to give it a shot. Because I'll be honest, this bus called Restore that I'm charged with driving, well, it requires a skill set that seems to keep shifting. The previous proven routes and directions, the instructions, they're all different now, or don't even exist. Sometimes I feel like I'm driving around in circles, and the method of transportation, which kind of was the building here at R5M, that's empty. We're shifting methods and focus to ensure that the bus gets filled back up again. But I can't forget the little girl that is upset and resisting. It seems that perhaps this is a picture of us. That the church, you and I, is feeling dirty, disheveled, we're crying, we're upset, and yet we refuse to get on the bus because some of us have been hurt and abused and tormented. Perhaps through no fault of our own, actually, but maybe, just maybe, we've looked to politicians for our discipleship, Facebook for our inspiration, money as our savior. Our hope has been misplaced. We've invested our trust in the untrustworthy, and now we feel manipulated, we feel let down, and we feel angry. In these weeks together, what I've hoped for is that we get a fresh perspective about our finances, that we consider what it means to live open-handedly, yes, even with our money. Not to be careless, but to take another step in our faith journey, to trust God with all of our lives, to surrender, to release our grip and open our hearts to the possibility that God is always for us. And in His for us, this means He is generous toward us. His heart is inclined toward us. He works all things out for our good. Even the ugliest moments when sickness and death visit and when divorce and family matters feel like they're destroying us from the inside out, even then, friends, He is working all things out for good. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Because I'll tell you what, it's been hard to wrap our hearts around this truth, let alone our head. But that's why we don't live our faith out alone. This is why we lean into relationships, because sometimes we need to carry each other. We need to know that we are for each other too, that we aren't alone on this journey, that you've got my back and I've got yours. That another human is believing the best in me is one of life's greatest gifts. King David's words in Psalm 133 resonate with me so much in these days. How wonderful it is, he says, how pleasant it is for God's people to live together in harmony. Peace and harmony in unity. This is what we're fighting for. This is what we're believing for, because this is what Jesus calls us to. Now, some would say, that day will not come until Jesus receives us into His kingdom. But I'm convinced that the local church must be an instrument of peace, a truth-telling instrument of peace right now. We speak the truth, not my truth, not a politician's truth, not our neighbor's truth, but we speak the truth of Jesus Christ, who is our Redeemer, the one who restores all things. This is the truth that we testify of, that He was born of a virgin, that He was crucified, He died and was buried, and that on the third day He rose, He resurrected, victorious over death, sin, and the grave. Guys, His resurrection is our hope eternal, because He is alive and is in you and I as we make room for Him, as we release our grip on pride, on arrogance and selfishness. We do so with the full assurance that once again, wow, God Almighty has been so generous toward me and to you. He is for us. He loves us with an everlasting love that does not shift or change with every wind that blows, but is our steadfast help in time of trouble and in times of peace and in times of calm. This is what He does. He calms the storms. He speaks peace to our circumstances. So don't let your hearts be troubled, He says. I have overcome the world, and I've got you. I've overcome. I have persevered so that you may have peace. Peace and harmony and unity, it is possible. So what do we do? What are our next steps? Now, I don't know what your specific next step is, but I'm still glad you ask. I'm going to give you a quick rundown of a few things. First of all, if you haven't started Giving to Restore, we'd love for you to start. The best way to do this is to download the Church Center app and set up direct bank transfers, better known as ACH. This allows for electronic giving, but only charges a 25-cent fee per transaction. I know I'm getting in the weeds, but stick with me. This is compared to a credit card transaction, which is a percentage of the total amount given. That's the cost to process a credit card. By the way, when you give electronically, you always have the option to pick up the tab for the transaction, which, of course, we fully endorse. All of this can also be done by clicking the Give button on our homepage at restore.church. And obviously, cash is still king, and if cash or check is your preference, it's all good. The second thing, join a crew. We're planning for at least one of our crews to launch in January with the sole purpose of leading many of you through a study of faith and finances. Joining a crew helps us stay connected, and joining a crew that leans into our finances is going to impact your life in ways that will bring clarity and peace like you've never thought possible. So stay tuned, and we're going to have more information very soon. And the third thing, the annual Christmas Offering Fund is open, and you can now begin giving to that fund. We have some perennial benefactors for our Christmas offering because we believe so much in the good work they're doing. Number one is The Window. The Window is a food pantry, but they also make hot meals for the elderly, shut-ins, and the homeless population of our community. Now, earlier this year, because of your generosity, when the pandemic first hit our area, we were able to buy a meat slicer and large amounts of food for the window. So kudos to all of you for giving to that, because that was so, so helpful to them. Ongoing, because of your help, the elderly, the homeless, and the destitute of our city will continue to receive the food assistance they need. The second way we're going to give through the Christmas offering is through the Jail Chaplaincy Ministry, which is another ministry that stays on our Christmas offering year after year because they are the primary method of bringing hope to our county jail population. Inmates matter to Jesus, and so they matter to us, and we will continue to help resource the incredible work that is being done right here in our Elkhart County Jail. And finally, this year, we are establishing a Restore Student Scholarship. This will help fund experiences like retreats and events that will build into this next generation's spiritual life. So there you are, the window, jail ministry, and student scholarships. These are all worthy ministries and causes that deserve our support. Here's what we hope for. We hope for 100% participation. Every man, woman, boy, girl, dog, cat that calls this house their home church will give to this undertaking. Now, if you're not quite committed to Restore at that level, we'd still love for you to give to our Christmas offering. No matter the amount, it's all important. Together, we can do so much more than we can ever do alone. And what a beautiful opportunity it is for us to do something great for our community during this holiday season. And how great is it to be able to bring your kids into the mix and show them that you're what you're doing with your finances and the ways that the world will be impacted because of your generosity. You guys, I'm so grateful that you are part of our gathering this morning. And before we go, I want to just pray for us as we step into this next season of Restore Church. Father, we thank you this morning for the ways that you continue to speak into our lives, for the way that you continue to bring hope and peace into our lives. You do this as we open our hearts and lives to you. God, today we once again just want to give ourselves fully to you. That means every part of us. That means our finances. That means all of the ways that we believe you're calling us to change, all of the ways that you're calling us forward into our future. We want to give that all to you this morning. And as we do that, God, we just seek you, and we believe that those areas where we feel inadequate, those places where we don't yet feel like we have the full knowledge of how to step forward, that you'll fill those gaps. Holy Spirit, we invite you. We invite you to do the work that only you can do in us. Bring about those changes in our lives that you're calling us forward into. Now, Father, this morning we again pray for all those who are hurting, all those who are in need of healing. We pray grace and healing and restoration over every single person within earshot of this prayer today. We pray against this COVID disease, this COVID virus, and pray that, God, it would be gone from our world, that it would be removed, and that we would experience a realignment of health and wholeness. We thank you for all the ways you're working in us and through us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thanks for joining us for today's episode. Please rate and review us on Spotify and iTunes, and join us again for next week's podcast. We love you and pray blessing and peace over you and your family.